the official home of the Dodgers in the World Series. KLAC Los Angeles. KYSR HD2 Los Angeles. Streaming games everywhere live on the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Keene.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Keene.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Okay, here we go. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. The meter is green.
Green?
Green.
Are you sure it's green?
It's absolutely green.
It's green for me.
Look who's this. Let's say hello to her. Holly, jump on here. Holly Robinson, Pete, Rodney's wife. Go ahead, Holly.
What am I supposed to say, Fred?
Well, talk about the Dodgers.
I missed the question.
Here's the question. How are you feeling about the Dodgers?
Well, I came home a little bit. I was working yesterday. Couldn't watch the game. I was on set. Came home a little deflated. They're going to get one, Fred. Going to give up one. At least one. This is a great team. You know, I'm just mimicking Rodney Pete's talking points at this point. I wanted to be up 2-0. Can I just be honest?
Yeah, you can be.
I wanted to be up 2-0 by now.
Well,
I'm a little frustrated, but I feel good. I really do feel good. I feel like these guys are so focused, and I do believe it's our year.
Well, I agree with you. And by the way, and I'm sure Rodney would agree, you know, we are always blessed and honored when you come on because you're the biggest star that ever comes on our show.
Hey, that's something, Fred. I'm putting that on my resume. All right, here's your guy.
All right, you look good, Holly.
Thank you. See you soon.
Okay. Rodney's wife.
All right.
Holly. You know what I told her?
What?
I said, you know, we're always honored when you come on. You're the biggest star that comes on our show.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, God.
That's right. She's the hardest working person in the family.
And she looks great, Rodney. I got to tell you what.
Yeah. No, she's doing great. She's doing great.
Good.
She's. How, you should see. There should be a whole show about her and my son RJ going back and forth during the games.
Yeah.
They go back and forth. They're up, they're down, they're yelling, they're screaming, and it is comedy hour at the house, especially when she's away. And RJ's at home. He's going back and forth watching the game. He's like, you just hear it, her and him going at it throughout the game. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Oh, my goodness. And Chris Taylor is their favorite, so they love Chris Taylor. And Holly calls him Country Boy, but that's her nickname for Chris Taylor.
Well, you know, so what Holly and RJ are doing is what I think a lot of fans last night were doing, watching the game. Why are they doing this? Why do you do that? My meter is green. I want that established off the top. That seems to be a talking point. All is good. Not one concern in the world, at least where I sit. And I'm the first guy to panic. They were not going to sweep them. That wasn't going to happen. Okay. Tampa got theirs. Dodgers ran into Blake Snell. We know what happens when they run into
somebody.
And he
was fire. Yeah. He was on fire. Yeah.
I mean,
sometimes when a guy's going like that, he had all his stuff going. He was Max Fried in game one against the Dodgers in the NLCS.
Yeah, I mean.
He had it all going.
I mean, the only thing he needs to do is get some sleep. I mean, it looks like the guy hadn't slept in 4 years. But aside from that, he was pretty damn good. All right, they couldn't hit him. And then the bats woke up. And what happened? They ran out of innings, basically. They just ran out of innings. If the game had gone a little longer, they probably would have beat them. They just ran out of time. Okay, so that's that. Now let's get to Dave Roberts. And why did he make the decisions he made with the pitching staff? And did he overmanage? No, he did not overmanage. Well, he started Gonsolin, and then he went out and got him pretty damn fast. Yeah, he did. He wanted to win the game. It's okay.
Because if he leaves him in, then why'd you leave him in that long?
Right. You cannot criticize him for sticking with a guy too long and then turn around and criticize him for going to get a guy. You can't do it.
Yeah.
He was managing last night as if that was the game they wanted to win. If they'd hit, they would have won.
Yeah, they would have. And granted, they had a guy that was like, one for his last 70 go off last night and break out of his slump, and now and hit two home runs against the Dodgers. I mean, it's things like that in sports that you don't plan for. A guy that hasn't been hitting, you've owned, and he's been owned pretty much the whole postseason, finally decides to come out of a slump in game two. I mean, take away those home runs, and it's, well, we tie ball game at least, or Dodgers are winning that game. So, and we all knew this was, game two was going to be that kind of bullpen game. So if you're going to criticize him, criticize him before the game, said this is not going to be, show me your crystal ball and say, criticize Dave Roberts for going with the bullpen game in game two before it happens. Don't wait till it happens. Because you knew, we knew Gonson was going to start. We knew, you know, May was going to come in. We knew that was going to be the kind of thing that they were going to do. And if you're upset about that, say it before the game. Don't get to the game and afterwards go, see, I told you that wasn't going to work. That was a bad idea for them to pitch that way. There's no way Gonsolin, that young kid, can do that and not know, and blah, blah, blah. No, it didn't work out. The plan, which they are smarter than us because they know their team better than us, was to play the game that way, and it didn't work out. Gonsolin wasn't on his game. Dustin May wasn't on his game, and I'm not sure what's going on with Dustin May, but he doesn't seem to have the confidence that we've seen him have earlier in the season.
Yeah, and you know what? I heard that argument last night. What are you going with these kids for? Why are they out there? They just pitched earlier in the playoffs, and they weren't kids then.
Yeah.
Well, look at their age. Ian Anderson was 22 years old for Atlanta.
Right.
Right? Oh, you can't send those guys out there. They're too young. They weren't too young a week ago. They weren't too young 2 weeks ago.
Right.
All of a sudden, now they're too young. All right. They also used seven pitchers. That's probably more than they wanted to use.
Right.
But they wanted to win. And don't forget about this. There was a play that Kike Hernandez did not make. It was a slight bobble of the ball. Just a slight bobble of the ball. If he makes that play and it turns into a double play, Tampa Bay doesn't score two of those runs because they occurred after that little bobble. So don't forget about that either. Don't sit here and point at Gonsolin and May. They struggled. Done. Don't point at Dave Roberts. You knew one of these games was going to be that way. And by the way, it's not the first time they had to do that. So don't point at Dave Roberts. You know what? They got beat last night. They got beat because they couldn't hit. And by the time they started to hit, they ran out of time. And that's it. I don't know what other analysis you have to put in there. That was the game. Any way you want to cut it and slice it and dice it.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I agree with you. It was one of those games that you know, their guy was on and our guys were not. And they hit the ball and we took our time hitting the ball. And you know, it was great to see Chris Taylor with the home run and Corey Seager, man. Is there, I don't know, ever. I mean, I know people go back to the Reggie Jackson days of the World Series against the Dodgers and maybe Chase Utley in the Phillies versus Yankees World Series, but I can't think back to another guy that was hotter than Corey Seager right now.
He's been unbelievable.
Yes, the issue, Carlos Beltran was great when he went to the Astros that one time years ago. That's the only time that I can remember. But you guys talking about the youth and people criticizing the youth of the pitchers. I think it's less about that for some of the criticism, and I'm agreeing with you two guys, but just to play devil's advocate, is that these guys have been starters for the most part all season long, and they're asking them to play different roles. And look, Dustin May found out the day of that he was going to start Game 7 last week. And so it came out of nowhere, and so maybe that threw off his preparation, and he was off. In his timing, and he was off being throwing balls in the zone. Now, they were told before the playoffs began that you have to be swing guys, but if you've been preparing all season long to be a starter, I guess you can maybe understand why guys might struggle knowing that they're not going to be able to go in and work themselves out of issues and they're going to have a quick hook. That will be what the dissenting opinion would be, Fred.
I get that, but Dustin May has come out of the pen before.
Yes.
You know, he's been, they've used him out of the pen. I get this year he started, but I'm not buying that. And sometimes, you know guys better than the outside public does. If you give Dustin May too many days to think about his start, he may overthink it. And so maybe that is the reasoning why we don't tell him till late. And I know that, I mean, think about Justin Herbert, who started the first the first home game for the Chargers after the punctured lung for Tyrod Taylor. He goes out and plays great. Now, if they told him the day before you're going to be starting, it may be a different story. He may have overthought it. So everybody's different. But, I think there might be something to that, Kevin, but I'm just saying that it wasn't like Dustin May has never, ever came out of the pen. He's come out of the pen for the Dodgers in other situations, too.
He's come out of the pen in the playoffs
yes.
for the Dodgers. It just didn't work last night. You can get frustrated. You know what? If they went down 3-1 in the series because of that, maybe it's a different conversation. The series is tied right. at a game apiece.
Yeah.
Kike's bobble. That hurt. That was painful.
And that's a great point, Fred. You think about the way the Dodgers in the last series. I think it was a Mookie Betts beat the throw at first base or something like that that started a big onslaught, a 5-run inning for the Dodgers. Max Muncy on a walk that he, took the count, took 10, 8 pitches, whatever, got the walk, with 2-out walk that started the whole thing for the Dodgers in another game. So little things like that, you never know how they're going to translate. But yeah, right. I mean, if he gets the double play, they're out of that inning.
Another issue that some fans have brought up were the choices in relievers that Dave Roberts used last night. Talking about Alex Wood and Dylan Floro for the second straight game and Joe Kelly in a high leverage situation, as opposed to guys who have been more clutch for you, like Bruce Dargradawal and like Blake Treinen. Knowing you had a day off today, why wouldn't you go with your more tried and true guys that have gotten you out of jams this entire postseason, as opposed to guys you've brought in lower leverage situations?
Okay, and at what point in the game were we going to do that?
Like in the sixth inning or whenever, when Joe Kelly came in and gave up an additional run?
So he gave up one run.
Correct.
Okay.
Alex Wood, I thought, did pretty good.
Wood was excellent, actually. Floro and Wood. Floro got that ground out, and they threw him out at home. But, yeah, he was fine. Wood, surprisingly to some, was actually fine. So, really, the only one that kind of blew up was Joe Kelly. And he didn't blow up. He gave up one run.
Give up a run. That was it.
Yeah.
You know?
And he got hit, too. He got hit.
He did.
Yeah, he did. But he gave up one run.
Yeah.
So,
I was thinking, say a run can cost you a game, obviously.
Well, a run can cost you a game. But
yeah, but we've seen Joe Kelly go and shut it down and be lights out, too. So, I mean, it's obviously we all know it's kind of a hit or miss sometimes with him.
Oh, yeah, with relievers in general as well,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, so, Joe Kelly has been one of those guys that you put him in the game and he's unhittable. And yesterday he was hittable.
Yeah, I guess the questions are, we know how good Gratterall has been and how excellent Blake Treinen has been, and with additional days of rest, why weren't they used in the highest leverage of situations last night is the question that many fans
didn't Treinen give up a couple of runs against Atlanta when he came in?
Yeah, and gave up one that was saved. Yeah, the home run saving catch.
And
yeah.
What was the score when they brought Kelly in?
Let me double check on that. They were down for sure.
Yeah, they were down. And you're paying Joe Kelly, and it's not a save situation. And what if it turned into that? What if it then turned into a high-leverage save situation? Then you have Treinen and Gratterall sitting there. So you hope Kelly just puts out the fire.
Puts out the fire. Yeah.
And you start to hit.
Yeah, again, these are the granular things that people start picking out when you get into postseason baseball. So people pick out every single – again, it does. You can press the right button and put the right reliever in at the right time, and he makes a bad play, and all of a sudden it falls on the head of a manager. It's not fair, but that's kind of how it works out, unfortunately, with fans. And by the way, Fred, I'm not letting you get away with saying the Dodgers ran out of time. They got 27 outs, don't they?
They needed.
They got 27 outs, don't they?
You know what? They needed 36.
Well, that's not how the game of baseball is played, Fred.
Okay, well, maybe it should be.
No, it shouldn't.
I'm just saying.
They had a great starter in Blake Snell. Once he started struggling, they went to their phenomenal bullpen, which is, many people believe, the best in baseball. And they made plays in the Dodgers.
Yes, they are.
Jeez. Yeah.
Just give the Rays some credit too, Fred, and don't say the Dodgers ran out of time.
Wait a minute. I'm giving the Rays credit.
That's a cop-out.
They won.
Yeah,
That they have says they have the best pitching staff in baseball.
Look.
Especially their bullpen.
Look, the king of panic here is telling you it's all good. The king, the most concerned panic man there is telling you it's all good. I don't care if they have the best. You know what? As Vic would say, they're a bunch of freaky freaks. They're freaky freaks. That's what they are. They beat them. They beat the Dodgers last night. Good. You don't have to go home with your tail between your legs and be swept. They'll start again Friday night. And I'm sure the Dodgers will be ready.
Get over, cops.
Fine. Ned Colletti will come on next.
Fred, you go from being Mr. Panic to being Mr. Overconfident.
Life is fluid, Rodney. Things change. I'm very confident. I'm gonna give my third to Ned Colletti and hear what he has to say. And then at the bottom of the hour, we'll open the phone lines. We'll hear where your meter is.
The World Series is tied up. One game apiece heading into Game 3 tomorrow.
The job's not finished.
We go wall to wall with Dodger coverage leading up to first pitch.
We are three wins away.
Join Tim Cates and Steve Sachs at 7 a.m. and listen all day on AM 570 or
hear every World Series game live on the iHeartRadio app.
It is amazing.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Real Dodger fans know.
Lived it.
And Fred.
Waiting for the break of day.
Oh, you know, when we hear Chicago, Fred, it's time to put our minds at ease, to put you at ease, to take off the rubber padding around the room, to make sure the windows are not locked for you. You just to rub your temples and everything's going to be okay. We hear this music because our man is coming on.
Yeah, and by the way, I am okay. I don't know why everybody's so concerned. Everything's just fine.
Why are you saying that like Rodney Dangerfield? Yeah, everything's okay. Hey, I'm okay.
Everything's fine. After we talk to Ned, we'll take your calls. People are starting to get online. You'll have your shot. So if you want to weigh in here, 866-987-2570. Let's bring on Ned Colletti. Ned, how are you today?
Rodney, is it okay?
You know, his mouth... Ned, his mouth is saying everything's okay. He's still in the green. His body language is starting to change a little bit, though, Ned.
I woke up in a cold sweat today knowing I had to make this call.
You know, Ned, maybe I'm the only guy in town that looks at it like this. No big deal. It's all fine. You know, two nights ago, Dave Roberts was a genius. Last night, he was a complete idiot. Two nights ago, this was going to be a sweep. After last night, oh my God, the sky is falling. I'm just fine. I think the Dodgers are going to win this. I've said it. My meter's green. I got no problems at all. I don't know why everybody's so freaked out all of a sudden.
Are we talking to the same guy, Ned? I don't know. Somebody get Fred back in the studio.
Rodney, that was a great scouting report. You're right on. Okay, Fred. Yeah, well, everything's okay. I think it's all right. We saw their best yesterday. Charlie Morton's going to be pretty good tomorrow. But you know what? Tampa won 40 games. It's not like we're playing a team on a Williamsport. You know, they're supposed to be a good team. And they showed it last night. And Dodgers got kind of stuck with the bullpen game. They played 9 out of 10 days. A lot of relievers. A lot of guys coming and going. It's tough to... Tough to have seven relievers and have everybody come in and be perfect. It's hard to do that.
Yeah. So, Ned, if anything, because it was, you know, again, I go back to the – I can't say enough about Corey Seager because he's just still doing it.
Yep.
But what concerns you going forward, if anything?
I think the odd number games are – every game's important. I'm not saying they're not. I think the odd number games are always have a little bit more of an effect to them. You go up 1-0, now you're tied 1-1. Okay, somebody's going to be up 2-1. And so game four is going to – you got a little bit different feel to game four than you do to game two and on and on. I think Morton's going to – you know, really good pitcher. Doesn't have the stuff that Snell has, but still very, very accomplished. By the way, a member of the 2017 Astros, I might add. But you got Buehler going. So that should be a great matchup. I think you've got to win the bullpen games. I think Tampa's going to have one coming up. I think the Dodgers may have another one. You got Urias and then Clayton, I think, in game five. So you're set up decently. Game six, I guess, is kind of a wait and see, but I think that you got Tampa that offensively is still, in my mind, challenged. Lau had a great night last night, two home runs. But again, you gave them a couple pitches over the middle of the plate. Guys are supposed to do what they do. I'm not really concerned yet. I think that the Dodgers are still playing in a real good way, and I think that their confidence level is more of they know they can win. I think Tampa's still trying to figure out if they can win and how they're going to stop this team. And think about Tampa's bullpen. That is what everybody's heard about. That is what everybody's raved about. They've raved about Snell. They've raved about Morton, and they've raved about the bullpen. The bullpen came within probably an inch or two of giving it up last night when Will Smith hit that ball at third base to Wendell. They were very close to giving it up. Seager homers, JT hits that ball to right center that falls in between two outfielders. He's on second base. Tampa's playing four guys in the outfield. You know, I don't get that. You know, it's against Seager, Will Smith. They need, you know, an outfielder that's about 45 feet tall. Forget how many. They need somebody about 45 feet tall out there. But they were on the verge. They were on the verge of losing that game. And if they lose that game, it is over. They'll play two more games, but it is over. So my point being that their greatest strength is their bullpen. They got to it. Snell's a strength. 4 2/3, 4 walks. Pitch great. I mean, look, watching him pitch is a little bit like watching Clayton pitch. High fastball with life to it, great hard slider to the back foot of the right-handed hitter, good looping curveball with some bite to it. You know, it was a little bit reminiscent of watching Clayton pitch, except that he walked 4 hitters in 4 2/3. So, but the bullpen, to get back to your point, the bullpen of Tampa Bay is, I think, showed some vulnerability, showed a little deer in the headlights last night, and I think that they are vulnerable. I think they know it. I think they got away with it a little bit last night.
And that's why when you talked about the Tampa bullpen, now they said, well, the Tampa bullpen, I went like this. Yeah. Yeah. They got to the bullpen. I mean, stop freaking out, everybody. Be the voice of reason like I am.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
I can't, Ned. I don't know who I'm listening to now.
All right, Ned. So Dave Roberts was criticized because he overmanaged, because he went and got Gonsolin when he did. I don't think he overmanaged at all. I think he was managing to win the game.
You know, it's so hard to manage a bullpen game. I think that people got to find somebody to take something out on, I guess. When you're managing a bullpen game and you've got a young pitcher out there in Gonsolin, okay, he doesn't have time to adjust to this or to that. You know, he hasn't pitched that much in the big leagues, let alone in the World Series, let alone he had a couple weeks off. So you got to make a move. You cannot let somebody stay too long when you're trying to win a game. You got more time in the regular season than you got in the postseason. Many times the middle pitching in a game wins or loses it for a team in the postseason. You see it all the time. I think a big play, and the guy is a Gold Glove player, was a double play that Kike Hernandez failed to turn or failed to pick the ball up cleanly, and then, you know, Seager failed to turn with a slow runner on. You've got time. And, you know, you can hit that ball to Kike 200 times and 199 times, he's going to make a great play on it. But he didn't. And so two runs scored that inning. It put the move on Dave Roberts to take Gonzalez out and bring in Dustin May. And so you had a little bit of a situation that had a few different dominoes fall to it. It's a two-run game, okay, 6-4. Two runs scored that inning after two were out, and you had a chance to get out of the inning with that double play. So more than how the pitching went is you really had one mistake in the field that cost you. But, you know, again, it's not the end of the world. You're tied 1-1, and you've got the better team across the board.
Yeah, and I look at it like that, too. I think that you take, you know, you look at the Kike play, even the play with Max Muncy missing it at first. They didn't hit the ball well early in the game. And I felt like Tampa Bay played their best game. They gave it their best shot. And the Dodgers didn't play their best game. And if they do that, I think the Dodgers will win the series. I don't want to say easily, but they'll win the series. How important is Game 3 now with Walker Buehler going for both teams?
Well, I think it's very important for both clubs. You got Walker, who's been tremendous in situations like this, be it the playoffs, be it the World Series, been great at it. And young guy that's got not just great stuff, but really the heart and the makeup and the really the uh, and a relentless approach to pitching in situations like this. And Morton's good too, so you're going to probably see a well-pitched game. I don't know if Morton's stuff will play as long as Buehler's or as well. He doesn't have the stuff that Walker's got. I think when you see even Snell, you know, he was great last night, but you see him start to pitch away from contact. I saw some of the Tampa relievers trying to pitch away from contact. It's one thing to get a guy to chase a pitch, okay? We all understand what that looks like. 0-2, 1-2. Some of you are going to try and, you know, you got a pitch to play with, so you're going to see if he'll chase something out of his zone. But in even counts or on first pitches where you pitch away from contact because you don't necessarily trust your stuff as much as you fear what the hitter may do. I saw that a lot. I saw that a little bit with Snell. I saw it with a lot of the relievers on Tampa. And I saw it in the second half of the first day pitcher for Tampa. You see guys pitch away from contact, and I think that to me tells you a story of confidence level, stuff, all that type of equation. Morton's got good stuff. We'll watch tomorrow to see if he pitches away from contact. I can tell you this: Walker Buehler, he will never pitch away from contact. He's 0-2, 1-2, yes. He will try and get somebody to chase. That's different than pitching away from contact. And I think that's a key thing. But I think game three is really, really a huge game. But even if it goes the other way, I don't think it's the end of the world. Because the two guys that they would have seen then, Snell and Morton, those are their two best guys. So now you're in the bullpen games for Tampa. And I'm telling you, Tampa's bullpen was not lights out. They almost let them back in.
All right. Well, Ned, I agree with you. And that's why.
Beautiful. I've got, love that. I think.
I don't have any worries in the world. All good.
I agree with that. So you guys aren't on Saturday, right?
No. Why? You want
so
us to
that
come in?
When they win tomorrow, we can't talk the day after. So I only get this when we're when we're staggering, okay?
All right. Well, wait a minute.
Can we tape a show on Saturday just so I can see what that would sound like on a good day?
Hey, Ned, why don't we talk on Monday? They'll win the whole thing Sunday night.
I like that. I like that.
Are you calling it, Fred? Is that what you're doing? You calling it? Is it over Sunday?
I said it would be six games, so now I'm being optimistic.
You did?
Yeah, I said six.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, wow. No, I don't know. Kevin, we got to rewind that tape. I think after game one, Fred was in that, we're about to sweep them if they may get one.
No, that wasn't me.
I definitely don't remember him saying, oh, they're definitely going six.
No, I don't either.
I don't remember that.
You know, the last time you checked the tape, I was right.
Oh, yeah, and I'll gladly admit I was wrong again, but I don't feel that this time.
Okay.
I don't remember you ever saying six games.
All right, I did.
I'll check the tape.
Maybe I used my inside voice. All right.
That's good for radio.
Let's talk on Monday. You guys want me Monday, let me know, and yes. We'll hopefully have a lot of cool things to talk about.
Right, we're letting you know right now, Monday, Ned.
Yes.
You got it.
Okay, talk to you then.
All right, have a great weekend. You peaceful. Too. Just peaceful, relax, take it easy, watch a game, and, you know, lay back, take a nap.
Hey, Ned.
Take a nap,
Ned,
in the middle of it. Yeah.
Ned, turn your phone off this weekend, please.
This show has really gotten to me. I'm not kidding you. I watched the end of the game last night, about ready to go on TV. I'm thinking, oh, I got to get Fred tomorrow. Got to start making stuff up to get through it.
Oh, God.
I love it.
All the best, Rodney. Good luck.
Thanks, Ned.
Fred, hey, have a great weekend. Yeah.
Thanks, Ned. All right, we'll talk to you Monday. There goes our buddy, Ned Coletti. All right, Dodger fans, where are your meters? 866-987-2570. You heard the voice of reason. You heard Ned. You know where I'm at. I'm good to go. Where are you at? Let's find out. Let's give people a chance to talk. Jesse in Ontario. You're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, Fred, appreciate your call or letting me respond, but lifelong fan of you, and Rodney, love you too, but
thank you.
You know, you should play Troy Aikman. But, you know, the thing is, the Dodgers, they're brutal. They took out their number one pitcher. They almost came back. The guy only lasted five innings. He's not even playing Kershaw at his young age.
Wait, Jesse, hold on. So you're upset right. in the game they won that he took Kershaw out after five innings?
No, I'm saying
he's being positive, Fred. He said their guy only lasted five innings.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. Yeah. Good. Okay. So you're good, Jesse.
Yep. The Dodgers are like, they're too good. They're not going to lose this series. So at your level, I agree with you. High green. And, yeah, I was one of those doubters with Atlanta. I have to go revert back. But, yeah, let's just got Bueller. Let's do it. And I think we're going to go forward.
Yeah. It's just one game, right? It's just one game. They're going to get one game. Let's move forward. Thanks for your call, brother.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Sergio in San Francisco, you're on AM570 LA Sports, listening on the app, and you can take us anywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Go ahead, Sergio.
Yeah, so look, man, I'm in the high green, too, because, man, look, it was a bullpen game, right? So I figured, look, Gonsolin and Dustin May, man, they have, like, no rest, okay? So how do you expect them to really pitch well, okay? And then on top of that, not every reliever is going to be spot on that came out. So you know what? Look, the offense woke up, give Blake Snell his credit. He shut us down until, you know, he was getting rocked a little bit. And then on top of that, what I don't think anybody's really mentioning is, yeah, we had opportunities. And, yeah, when Will Smith hit that liner to third, right, that could have changed the game. But when we had our chance in the seventh inning in the bottom, right, I just wish, like, Peterson and Betts would have took, like, you know, a little bit better at bats, because that inning went real quick. And I thought that really kind of, I guess, killed the momentum, you could say. So either way, look, we're good. I'm calling it. I already called it in six. But, you know, back when we were down 3-1 of the Braves, I was still in the high green because, look. Hey,
Sergio,
like I said,
Sergio, hold on a minute. You're living in San Francisco. Do you tell anybody?
Right.
You tell anybody you're a Dodger fan up there?
Man, people know all day because I wear my hat every day at work.
Love it.
I do the city. You know what I mean? So I'm rolling with my Dodger hat all day, every day. So you know what? Man, I've been like this ever since 82 when I was born. So you know what? It's all good. But like I said, Dodgers got it. I'm not worried. And you know what? Like I say,
all right, lost Sergio. His signal was kind of going. But interesting, he obviously came out of the birth canal with a Dodger hat on. He's been wearing that hat since he was born.
Absolutely.
Right.
Wearing it proud in San Francisco.
You know it. Dave in Cypress. Dave, why you got to bring everybody down, Dave? What? Why?
Hello?
Yeah, Dave, why you got to do this? Why do you have to bring everybody down?
Well, how am I doing that, though, Fred? I don't understand what you're saying, sir.
Well, you don't think the Dodgers are okay?
No, I think they're okay. I just don't agree with, you have a chance to go up 2-0 in a series, and you're saving your starters for game 3 and 4. I don't agree with this bullpen game. I agree with Nick, Caletti, sir, that you can't expect all 7 relief guys to be on every time. And I think the Dodgers gave away that game. I really do. They could have been up 2-0, and if we're up 2-0, it's done, man. I mean, Tampa Bay's not going to win 4 out of 5.
Yeah, but...
And I'm going to tell you something. Fred, if they lose the series, we're going to go back and talk about game 2. I know you're going to run.
No, you're probably right.
I love you guys, though.
No.
I love you guys, though.
And we think it's great. But here's the thing, Dave. You wanted Walker Buehler to pitch last night?
On short rest.
I'm sorry?
You wanted Walker Buehler to pitch last night on short rest? We lost it. We lost Dave.
Yeah.
And that's what he was suggesting.
That's the thing, you got the opportunity with the days off to get Walker Buehler on full rest. Why wouldn't you want to do that? And you trying to steal a game with your bullpen and absolutely everybody, if you're going to pitch, 5, 6, 7 pitchers, they all have to be on in a close ball game. And you're hoping that you get a good start and you're relying on your offense to score enough runs to get that done against a team that offensively kind of been struggling a little bit. I mean, Lau hitting 2 home runs after he's been struggling. Like I said, you're not expecting that. You're just expecting a good start from your team and then turn it over to the guys coming out of the pen. And you got a stable of guys that can come in throughout the game. And that's what you built up by having Kershaw go as long as he did in game 1. You were set to have this kind of bullpen game that you could bring a bunch of guys out.
All right, Carlos in Rialto. Carlos, your meter's on green, right?
Yes, sir. I have confidence in the Dodgers. Our hitters are going to outlast their bullpen. It would have been nice to win game 2 yesterday, But as Ned Canetti said, our hitters are going to outlast that bullpen.
Agree. Carlos, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening. 866-987-2570. Let's go, Luis and Covina. Go ahead, Luis.
Fred, Ronnie, feeling you, my brothers.
Thank you.
So, first things first, my wife and I just purchased tickets 4 hours ago for Game 5. We're going to be driving to Arlington, Texas, starting tomorrow after work.
Outstanding. Yeah, how much were the tickets? How'd you get them?
StubHub.
Yeah. Were they pricey?
Yes. So we're not going to pay our mortgage next month. And so here's my thoughts on last night's game. Despite the loss, people who know baseball, which is a lot of us, right, we can pick up on certain things even though we lost. The Dodgers played well. They hit the – you know, talking about their hitting, they hit the ball pretty hard. I mean, take a look at that line drive from Will Smith, who hit it to Wendell at third, nearly knocked his head off. I mean, that was a good sign. Turner's double, of course, Seager's homer. There's still plenty of momentum that's being carried on from the whole Atlanta series. So I tend not to overthink things, but I do have a good feeling. My son and I were at the 17 World Series for Game 6, and my son and I were at the World Series for 18. We were at that 18-inning game. So we truly love the Dodgers. I have a good feeling. I'm not going to say too much, but we're on our way.
All right.
Be the bamboo. Bam, do not break.
All right.
There you go.
Be safe driving. Have a good time in Arlington. 866-987-2570. Try to sneak a few calls in when we come back. Next hour, top of the hour, David Basse will join us from Arlington.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
Afternoon Delight.
Oh, yeah. I know Freddie remembers this one. A throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight. It's Caribbean Queen.
Absolutely.
By Billy Ocean. This song topped the Billboard Hot 100 charts for 2 weeks in October of 1984 and went certified gold in the United States and Canada. The song also won the Grammy Award for Best Male R&B Vocal Performance, making Ocean the first British artist to win in that category. Again, today's Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is Caribbean Queen by Billy Ocean. Fred, do you say Caribbean or you say Caribbean?
For the song, I say Caribbean. Otherwise, okay. I say Caribbean. So it would not be Caribbean Queen.
Cannot. It's got to be Caribbean Queen.
That's right.
Right.
Okay, Rodney, someone that we've spoken to in the past, we're going to bring him on real quick. He's available now. His name is Dean Logan, and he is the registrar and recorder for L.A. County. And he wants to talk about something that's very important to all of us. So let's bring him on now. Dean, thanks for being here.
Sure, thanks. It's always good to talk with you.
Okay, you've been working on this a long time, and your game day is nearly here. It's time to vote. What should voters know in this election?
Yeah, it's absolutely time to vote, and this is an election like one we haven't seen before. Not only is it a highly charged federal election with the presidential contest, but all of the impacts of COVID-19 and everything that our voters have been experiencing just changes the dynamic. So most importantly, what we want voters to know out there is that there are multiple options for them to cast their ballot, and that we have taken precautions to ensure that you can do that safely and securely. And that includes primarily mailing a ballot to every registered voter. And for those who are able to, we do encourage them to vote safely at home, mark that ballot, fill out the envelope, sign it, and turn it in. And there are multiple ways to do that. And then, of course, for those voters who can't vote by mail or who prefer to go in and vote in person, we have a process for that as well. So we are ready to go and looking forward to having a high turnout in this election.
Yeah, certainly going to be a high turnout. I see the early voting has been crazy already. But let's go back to the mail-in voting, because I know most or all registered voters should have been sent their mail-in ballot. And should you return those right away? I know there's concerns about mailing them in. How concerned should people be? And what's the best way to return those ballots?
Yeah, no, great question. And absolutely, we are encouraging people to vote those early and get them in. There are multiple options for returning those. You can put it back in the mail. The postage is paid on the return ballot. We do encourage you, if you are going to use the Postal Service, to do that early to allow for plenty of time for the ballot to get back to us. There's a way that you can track that if you want to get a notice so that you know that we received the ballot back. You can subscribe to that through the Secretary of State's website or check on our website. The good news, I know there was some concern early on about the ability of the Postal Service to handle the volume. Everything we've seen so far, we've worked very closely with our postal officials, and we're seeing them handle the election mail very, very quickly and very appropriately. But in addition to returning by mail, you can also drop your ballot in any of our official drop boxes. We have located more than 400 of these boxes. They're bright yellow boxes with an I voted sticker on them. They're located throughout the county. That allows for a contact-free process of getting your ballot in. We collect those ballots on a daily basis and bring them back to our office. And that's actually, in the early days of this election, that's proving to be a very popular option amongst voters. And then finally, during the early voting period that actually starts this weekend and continues through Election Day, you can also walk that vote-by-mail ballot into any voting location in the county. The advantage there is if you still want to go out to the voting location, you can do that, but you don't have to wait in line. You don't have to go through the check-in process. You can go immediately up and put that ballot into the ballot box.
Dean Logan is with us, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Okay, I've mailed. And actually, I sent mine back with our mail carrier. But I know you have official ballot drop boxes. They're placed throughout the county. How do voters find one of those boxes near their home, Dean?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways you can do that. Actually, in your vote-by-mail packet itself, the wrap that is kind of around your ballot with the instructions, on the back of that is a list of six locations that are in relative proximity to your residence. So those are kind of the base level if you want to just look at the information that's in the vote-by-mail packet. But we also have a lookup tool on our website at lavote.net. That allows you, if you're out and about in the community and you want to look up a location on your mobile device, it actually can tell you where the closest location is to where you are at a given time. So, again, there are 400 of these located throughout the community, and they should be highly visible and easily accessible to our voters.
Yeah, and Dean, you also mentioned that there'll be a number of people that can't mail it in and have to go vote in person in this election. And I know throughout the summer and the fall, you know, places like Staples Center and Dodger Stadium had opened themselves up. How is LA County making it safe for everyone to go vote? And can anybody go to those different places to go vote? Or do you have to be in your jurisdiction?
Yeah, no, the great thing about the early voting centers and and even on Election Day is that any voter in the county can go to any of those locations. So it's intended to be, you know, accessible and available to all voters. We've had tremendous partnerships in this election, like I've never seen before. I mean, all of our major sports affiliates here in the county have stepped up and partnered with us. So as you indicate, Staples Center this weekend is opening up. Will be a vote center open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily up until Election Day, and then on Election Day from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Then next week when we expand, then that actually will include SoFi Stadium, the Dodger Stadium, L.A. Football Club. The Forum actually is opening this weekend as well. So great partnerships with all of our sports affiliates. And it's just a nice sense of community, especially given our winning record here in L.A. I think that's a nice feature for heading into this election. And at every one of these in-person vote centers, we're taking all of the precautions under the public health order. So we do ask voters to wear a clean face covering. We will have masks, gloves, hand sanitizer available at the locations. We'll be sanitizing the equipment after each use. We'll be queuing people, you know, 6 feet apart to ensure that we allow for you know, accessible voting, but also don't put anybody at risk given the public health concerns. So we're looking forward to getting that started this weekend.
All right, Dean. So help me out here a little bit, because given what you just said, first, I remember we talked about the new voting procedure, and as I used to call them, the giant iPads. Is that still what people are using, that new machinery that you put in?
Yes. So at the vote centers, you'll still use those are called ballot marking devices. And you're right. They have a large touch screen that you use to navigate through your selections. Those have accessibility features. So if you want to use the audio ballot, if you want to increase the font size or the contrast, you can do that. They're very customizable. At the end of that, you look at the screen, review your choices, and then ultimately you print a paper ballot. And that paper ballot is the official record of your votes. That comes back to our office, and that's what gets counted and produces the election results.
Okay, and when you say the locations are open, are they open to drop off ballots, or are they open to actually go in and vote?
They're actually both of those services are available. So again, you know, for voters who are able to use that vote by mail ballot, that's what we encourage them to do. If you have that vote by mail ballot, you don't have to wait in line. You can just take it and directly put it into the ballot box. But for voters who have the accessibility needs or language needs, or simply just prefer to have that in-person voting experience, they can go into any of these locations and use the ballot marking device.
Okay, well, it's not my business. But to me, if you can vote by mail, if some of the polling places are already going to be open, why would you wait till Election Day unless you hadn't made your mind up? Why wouldn't you just get it done early?
I love that question, and I hope that other people feel the same way that you do. I think it's important in this election, given the conditions that we're operating in, to spread that out. And that's why we are encouraging people to use the vote-by-mail ballots and to really preserve that opportunity on Election Day for those voters who have the largest need for that in-person voting experience. The one thing I will add is that, you know, in California, if you have not yet registered to vote and you're eligible, you can still register and vote on the same day. You can do that at these vote centers. So that's another reason to have them open to ensure that everybody gets the opportunity to vote. But absolutely want to underscore your point that we've gone to a lot of effort to get those ballots out to people in advance, and we encourage them to use them and take advantage of any of the options for returning those ballots. Pick the one that you know is most meaningful for you, but be sure your voice is heard and get that ballot in.
Dean, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on and sharing today.
Thank you so much.